Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, one to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer be able to see me, but you see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Those who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them, and I will reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So, this little technical snafu is played with our minds a little bit this morning. We apologize for those things. It also played with my children's sermon because it was mostly visual. But kids, I want you to listen up. Have you had older brothers or sisters, or maybe you had a chance yourself to go to a camp, or maybe play date, where you were going to be away from your parents for a while? I remember the first time I went to a camp, I think it was in the third grade, and we went up and spent the night at Camp Pottawatomie. And as I'm with the group, I know there's something different because I don't feel as safe as I usually do when I'm at home. It was just kind of scary. But then I realized that my friends who are at my school, they were still with me because it was a class trip. And we began to do things that were fun, and we began to have a good time and enjoy each other's company. And I remember the feeling of being at ease. I felt good around my friends. And then I remembered something my mom told me before we left. I had three older siblings. I mean, I had two sisters that were older and a brother that was older. And she had done this quite a while, sending us off to experience life on our own a little bit. And she told me, "No matter what, Randall," that's what mom called me, Randall, stop sickering. It was just my name. "Don't worry, because I'll always love you." And I remember that feeling as well. Jesus, when he's talking to his friends, his disciples, the ones who follow him, he tells them, "You will not be alone. God will send you an advocate." And it's a fancy word to mean a good friend, someone to help you. In our life, in our baptism, where we are reminded that God loves us so much, that God sends the Holy Spirit, God's presence, to us. God's presence is in our heart, always. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, you are awesome and we love you. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Help us to love others like you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator to you this wonderful day. Amen. Jesus promises the disciples the gift of the Holy Spirit. He knows, because he's a great friend and a great teacher, the anxiety that they are going through, because he's talking about in this farewell discourse that he's going to be leaving. The time ahead of the disciples is going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging. I just doing anything that Jesus has asked them to do has already been challenging enough, but now with Jesus leaving, it's even going to be that much more difficult. But that's why Jesus tells us that God will send him an advocate to be with them and us forever. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, one who will be with you forever. And this gift of the Spirit comes with the promise to be with the disciples, with us, with the disciples forever. This is the promise we receive in our baptism. We are marked with the cross of Christ on our foreheads and sealed by the Holy Spirit as we are washed with the water and the word. If you have a hymnal with you, and I happen to have one, and open to page 236 in the little numbers at the beginning, it talks about the baptism service. And we hear these words, let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give us new birth. Cleanse us from sin and raise us to eternal life. Stir up in your people the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. This gift of the Holy Spirit is experienced differently by all people. I've had several different experiences. My first one that I want to talk to you about was when Missy and I met. We were dating for a while. We decided, well, she invited me to her church. And I'm like, sure. So she was going to high school at Concordia Lutheran High School in Fort Wayne. I figured we'd be going to Concordia High School or Concordia's Lutheran Church. Knowing it was Missouri Synod, okay, but, you know, hey. Yeah, it was all good. I'm traveling from her house, and I'm in the back seat of her mom and dad's car with her, and we go down and turn into the church with a different name than Concordia. It was called the Assemblies of God. It was a different experience. When we got into the church, there was all kinds of rumors out in the town that this is the type of church you would consider as holy rollers. So Missy was born and raised Pentecostal. I let you know, when I walked through those doors, every Lutheran liturgical ligament in my body stiffened up so I could represent the Lutheran frozen chosen. As we sat there, we saw people file in. We saw a big band and choir up in the front. And they were playing all kinds of music before, and everybody was singing and or talking. And then the service began, and they started with prayer, of course. And then they went into a song, and the choir's up there, they're leading us. And all of a sudden, I see a hand from the choir go up in the air. And I'm kind of looking around going, that's kind of odd. But then a couple rows in front of me, somebody else's hand went up in the air. I looked at Missy. I'm like, are those two people, do they know each other? Are they waving? What's going on? And she's kind of snickered at me. She goes, no, they feel the Holy Spirit and they want to praise God. Well, this made this small town Lutheran raised boy very uncomfortable. But not everybody was doing that. Some people were, some people weren't. I chalked it up as just different. Made me feel uncomfortable. Wasn't sure what was going on. It wasn't until after we were in our church home, after we had born her, we had our kids, and we were at Messiah Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne.
Somebody is.
And I had another experience that can only explain as a spiritual encounter with the Holy Spirit. I'd just taken communion, and I went back to my pew, and I began to pray for others. And as I did this, I felt this incredible, warm sensation. This almost like I was covered up with this blanket. And it made me burst into tears, not in fear or in sadness, but in joy. This incredible feeling of forgiveness just rushed through my whole body. And at that time, I'm like questioning what that was all about. Missy looked at me at the time, I remember, and she's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm just like, "Yeah, I've never been better." That played a huge role in my spiritual journey and in my going to seminary. Prior to the seminary trip, we had this Alpha course that we did in our church, and it was a 10-week introductory course to Christianity. And during week, it was 7 or 8, we would have this getaway where it would basically be introducing people to the Spirit. And we would do a lot of meditation and reflection and prayer. And there was a point where we would ask the Holy Spirit to come. During the three or four years that we did this, this was the weekend I always looked forward to. Because I would know the Spirit would be present. Once again, I would feel a warmth. I would begin to tear up. And I would know. Now, these aren't the only types of ways we can experience the Spirit. You know when the Spirit is present because you felt these times where you walk into a room and think something's not quite right. Find out later that you are correct. You get a senseful feeling of something's wrong, and then the phone rings and you hear some rather upsetting news on the other end. Maybe it works in the other way. I remember feeling this incredible joy and cheerfulness as I held each one of my kids for the first time. I remember seeing Missy coming down the aisle at our wedding for the very first time, and I couldn't hold back the emotion and tears. Sure, you can just chalk that up to, "Oh, you're just sentimental, Randy. You're just..." No. Those are the type of things that we should pay attention to, because those are the type of things that the Spirit speaks through. Because we all hold those type of experiences in common. Everybody experiences the Spirit differently, but we all have the Spirit within us because of this spiritual blending that Jesus is talking about. We all have them because Jesus promised it is the unity of God in us through Jesus Christ. "You will know on that day that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." You in me, and I in you. There's this... If you haven't heard of him, Richard Rohr is a Franciscan friar or priest, spiritual writer. Some people call him the best spiritual writer of our time. He has a devotion that I read off and on, but I was reminded about it from somebody in our congregation this week. And he had a piece on an ancient mystic named Julian of Norwich. I'm going to read this section of his devotional. Lady Julian of Norwich uses the idea of oneing. That's O-N-E-I-N-G, one and then oneing, to describe divine union. In chapter 53 of Revelations of Divine Love, she writes, "This beloved soul was preciously knitted by God in its making by a knot so subtle and so mighty that it is one, O-N-E-D, one in God. In this oneing, it is made endlessly holy. Furthermore, God wants us to know that all the souls which will be saved in heaven without end are knit in this knot and one in the oneing and made holy in this holiness. Julian observes, if I pay special attention to myself, I am nothing at all. But in general, I am in hope in the unity of love. Let me read that again. If I pay special attention to myself, I am nothing at all. But in general, I am in hope in the unity of love. For it is in this oneing that the life of all people consists. She reflects, the love of God creates in us such a oneing that when it is truly seen, no person can separate themselves from another. And finally, let us hear Julian, in her own Middle English words, speak of divine and human unity. She says, for in the sight of God, all man is one man, and one man is all man. Or today you might hear, for in the sight of God, all people is in one person, and one person is all people. The spiritual blending or oneing, as Julian puts it, it's of you and me and God through the Holy Spirit. And it happens for all people, everyone. Have you ever been able to stop watching one of those reunion videos when somebody comes back from service who hasn't seen their newborn child yet? It's impossible, because you want to see that joy and outcome come to fruition. It is that type of Holy Spirit that is working through us when we see great joy in people. Or the opposite, when we see great pain in people, it hurts us physically. Because the unity of God in all of us is felt through the Holy Spirit as we see and interconnect to each and every one of them. Now, the trick in all of this and realizing that we are all connected is where Jesus says at the very beginning, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do not give hope out. Do not give up hope. Because if you're anything like me, you're like, oh, shoot, man, Missy had to be my Holy Spirit this weekend just because a guy parked way too close to my car and I couldn't get in from the driver's side. She reminded me all the colorful words I used. But God looks past those things. That's why Jesus went to the cross. Those things are taken care of, washed away. It doesn't mean we shouldn't keep trying. It means that in our living, we have to remember that we are united with God and do our best. That when we see people hurting, we help. That when we see people celebrating, we celebrate with them. That when we are down and out, we are able to ask for help. Remember, as we keep those commandments, the best that we are able to do, our salvation is already secure with the love of Jesus Christ. But as we keep those commandments, we are given the promise that those who do will be loved by the Father, and Jesus will love them and reveal himself to us. It's no simple task, but as we are able to see God and Christ through the other, through the people who need us the most right now, through those, or to those people who are suffering from the coronavirus, those who are alone and isolated, those who truly are affected by this, which we all are. We need to care for those. That is the unity that we are called to in this spiritual blending by the Holy Spirit. The promise that God will be there as soon as we see Christ in the other. You know, Christ is the one that started this new commandment. The old commandment was the Ten Commandments, right? We love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus came and said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. They are very similar, but there's one little catch. Jesus wants to make sure that you love one another. We live in a very polarized time in our lives, and this coronavirus, I think, has just added to that polarization. Everyone's scared. Everyone's uneasy. Our technology just broke down this morning. We don't know what's going on, but we do know through our spiritual blending that God is with us. God is continuing to beg us to keep those commandments, to be the love in the world, that we can be united, and we are united. And because of that unification, we can be the chosen people of God to love one another. This is the hope that gets us to the next day. Knowing that God is present. Knowing that the Holy Spirit is with us. Being revealed to us as we love the other. Amen.